I'll begin with a question this morning. What's a good prayer? What's a good prayer? I'll give you an answer, at least my answer. I think a good prayer is an effective prayer. What I mean by that, I believe a good prayer is a prayer that's heard. Have you ever prayed and you felt or believed your prayers didn't get higher than the ceiling? I've been there. It seemed like I don't know what was going on. I just didn't seem like my prayers were being heard. A good prayer is heard. Secondly, a good prayer, if there is a request made, a good prayer is answered. May not always be the answer we want or like, but a good prayer is answered. So, a good prayer is an effective prayer because it's heard and it's answered. Now, with those thoughts before us, I would like to share with you this morning a prayer worth praying. So, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to look at a prayer worth praying this morning. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 22. Our text will be in verse 30, but we'll read 22 so we can get the context of what's taking place. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Now that's our prayer we're going to talk about here this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you've given to us. I pray as we go forward in this message that you will guide and direct in all that is said and done. Please open up our hearts to your word today. Provide the spiritual need that each one of us requires this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about this prayer. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. We're going to have 2 points. The first one is I want to talk about the problem, because there was a problem that preceded the prayer. There was a reason why this prayer was uttered from the lips of Peter. And then secondly, I want to talk about the prayer itself. Even though it's short, as we'll see here this morning, there's a lot in it that we can learn from. So the problem that preceded the prayer. 3 thoughts. The circumstances. Bible tells us that the disciples crossed the Sea of Galilee as Jesus remained on the shore to pray. He went and prayed alone with God the Father. Now I imagine that the apostles probably planned on crossing safely. By the way, there was no negligence involved. From my understanding, the windstorms on the Sea of Galilee, even today, because of the mountains and the canyons, they come rushing down on the Sea of Galilee, often surprising people even today. And so this appears to be a windstorm. It talks about the wind and the noise. So I don't believe these men were negligent. I don't believe that they put themselves in harm's way. I believe they went out planning to cross the sea, and they got caught in a storm. And I believe they probably hoped to get across before it got bad. But the Bible tells us that they are right out in the middle of the sea. According to John, he says they were about 25 or 30 furlongs. I don't know what a furlong is from my... I do know this, it's equivalent to about 1 mile. 7.5 Jewish furlongs are equivalent to about 1 mile, which tells us that they're about 4 miles out in the sea, which puts them right in the middle. Notice what Matthew said, right in the midst of the sea. They're right out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and this windstorm comes up, meaning they could not get out of this. They were there, they were stuck, and the ship was tossed to and fro. And as they worked to save themselves, they saw Jesus walking on the water. You know, this tells me, when I read the scriptures, some little tidbits stand out where you realize it's accurate, it's true. And one of them is, notice how all the men began to doubt. I don't know about you, but I'd be doing the same thing. I'd say, rub my eyes. There's no way someone's walking on the water. Yet they were troubled because they saw Jesus. Now, they may have thought they saw a spirit. Now, keep in mind, it's dark out. The Bible tells us that it was, we find here that it was dark out in the fourth night of the watch. That puts it between 3 and 6 in the morning. And so it's dark out. The wind's going. It's probably cold. They're trying to keep the ship from going over. And they see Jesus, or in their minds, it appeared to be Jesus. It was Christ. And they see him on the water. And it says that they were troubled. And they cried out to him. And he notice what he said there. We'll go back to it. We're in Matthew chapter 14. And notice what Jesus said. Let me get to my passage here. He says here in verse 27, he says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." So Jesus calmed their fears with his presence. He calmed their fears with his presence. That's the circumstances. That's what was taking place. Number two, notice the conditions. Now we're going to talk about Peter now. This is where we pick up with Peter. In verse 28, it says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Now, of course, this would be Peter who would ask this request. Peter is the go-getter. Peter's the one who was willing to go forward, even if it got him into trouble sometimes. Peter was a man of faith, and he tested his faith often. And we find that Peter asks the Lord. Now, he didn't demand it. Notice that. He didn't demand it. He asked, "If it's you, let me come out." And we find that Christ, he didn't reprimand Peter. He permitted him. Come on. Basically, come. You can come out. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if my faith just isn't as strong as Peter's was. But I still would have struggled to step out of that ship onto the water. But the Bible tells us that Peter did. And by the way, Peter was the only one, folks. You know, we often talk about him sinking, as we'll talk about here in a minute. But he's the only one that got out of that ship and walked on the water, too. You see, sometimes going by faith may get us into some difficulties. But you know what? It's going to get us to receive some great blessings at the same time. And the Bible tells us that Peter stepped out on that water. Now, a few thoughts on the conditions concerning Peter. First, I want you to think of Peter's understanding. I don't believe this was blind faith. What I mean by that, I don't believe Peter was just saying, "Okay, let's just see what happens." Peter had been around Christ. He had seen Christ work miracles up to this point, and now he sees Christ on the water. I believe Peter was putting his faith in Christ. "If it's you, Christ, let me come out on this water." And so we're not talking about blind faith. He's got experience in Christ. Christ has already blessed his life multiple times, and now he's willing to walk out by faith. You know, I believe God will direct us one step at a time. And there may be times in your life where you're going to have to walk by faith. And you may have to step out by faith like Peter did. But you can trust in the Lord who's already blessed you multitude of times. Maybe you think back to the days you were saved, or maybe take back to times where you were troubled and God provided blessings, or times where you thought there was no way God could provide an answer, or you saw no hope in a situation or circumstance and God blessed you through it. See, those are things that we count on, that we hold on to, experiences that strengthen our faith. And Peter here, I believe, had strong faith, and the Bible tells that he made a special request and God didn't reprimand him, but permitted him to step out on that water. Number two, as far as the condition, think of Peter's faith for a moment. The second he stepped on that water, took his weight out of the ship and put it on that water, it was an act of faith, 100% faith. He trusted that God would provide the power and the strength to walk on the water. Complete trust. Now, the storm hasn't been calmed yet. The winds are still going. It's still dark out. And he's stepping on this water to walk. And you talk about faith, folks. He put his faith in Jesus Christ. All of it in Christ. You know, this morning, you have faith. I tell people, everyone has faith. All faith is, it's a general word of trust. We have faith all the time. We trust people. We trust, you drove here this morning, you trusted, you know, others to drive on their side, and you drove on your side. Or if you didn't drive, you trusted who you were riding with. We have faith all the time. It's just putting your trust in someone or something. Well, faith in Christ is when you put your faith in Him. For salvation, you put your faith in Him that you'll be saved. You're no longer trusting maybe your good deeds or your works or the church that you're a member of. You're now trusting in Christ to be your Savior. His work on Calvary. You put your faith in Him and you believe on Him to be saved. That's what salvation is. I hope and pray everyone here is saved. Afterwards, we're to live by faith. We're trusting Him on a daily basis. trust Him to provide our needs. Whether it's at work, that He'll continue to provide a place for you to work, or can continue to provide so you can pay your bills, you can put food on the table. We just trust God every day, or we should trust God every day, and walk with Him, believing He'll take care of us. Now, Peter, he trusted God in a way that, of course, is incredible. We find it here, and in a way that was amazing. But he put the same faith in God that he had to put in other areas of his life. He just put it in this circumstance and this situation. And then he walked on the water. Not just a step or two. I don't believe it was just a step or two. I believe he walked. That's what the Bible tells us. And keep in mind, Jesus was far enough that they still weren't certain. You know, it still appeared to be a vision. And when Peter began to sink, he wasn't close enough where he could reach back and get into the ship. And always keep in mind, Peter was comfortable in water. This man was a fisherman. He grew up on the Sea of Galilee. And so for him to get to the point where he was in trouble on the water, the storm must have been great, and he was probably a great distance from the ship and a great distance from Christ. He walked on that water. How far? I don't know. Maybe the Lord will share with us when we get to heaven. But he went out there far enough to walk on the water, far enough to be out there where when he took his eyes off the Lord, he got into some trouble. And that's what I want to talk about next. That's the conviction that set in on Peter. Notice it says here, verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. So we find Peter. Now he's out in the water. He's doing fine. Everything's going well. I think Peter realized what he was doing, probably. He recognized that the wind was boisterous. Now the wind didn't change. Well, once it was always boisterous. That was the problem they had. That's why the ship was being tossed to and fro. When Peter got out there, the farther he got, I think, he began to take his eyes off the Lord. He looked at his situation, his circumstance, and he noticed the wind. Maybe he noticed the waves and the water choppy because of the wind. Maybe he started thinking, what am I doing? Especially as the farther out he got. And the Bible tells us he took his eyes off the Lord, began to focus on his problem, and that's when he began to sink. You know, it doesn't matter what problem you focus on, but if you take your eyes off the Lord, there's multiple problems in this world that can cause us to sink. You focus on the distractions or the troubles or the trials or the temptations that are in this world. Instead of looking to Christ, we're going to sink. Nobody has the power and strength to continue on. Discouragement may set in and other things. Keep your eyes on Christ. That's the lesson. Keep your eyes on Christ. And that's what Peter's mistake was. It wasn't that he was walking on the water. It wasn't even really that he noticed it. It's that he took his eyes off Christ, looked at the water, and he began to sink. You know what happened now? Here's the conviction. Peter understood his situation. Right? He began to sink in the water, and he needed some help. You see, he realized he was in trouble. Because he took his eyes off Christ, he got himself in trouble. Conviction set in. You know, sometimes it doesn't take, you know, a whole message for conviction to set in. Conviction can come in instantly sometimes. I've been convicted. You know, it seems like the Lord has a way of working in situations sometimes that can just convict your heart that, ooh, I shouldn't have said that. Or I shouldn't have thought that. And then we need to get right with God. Well, Peter was instantly convicted. Probably had something to do with the water he was sinking in and all the waves around him. But he was convicted, and we find he cried out unto the Lord. And this is his prayer. Let's look at the prayer now. Verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, we looked at the problem that preceded the prayer, and I'm going to talk about the prayer now for the next few minutes. We're going to talk about the prayer. I have six thoughts on this prayer. Six of them. So if you're taking notes, get ready. Here we go. First, it was a short prayer. A short prayer. There were just three words to this prayer. Lord, save me. That was it. He didn't extend this prayer any longer than he needed to. It was a short prayer. It was a quick prayer. Something he could say in just a few seconds. But I don't think Peter had time for a long one. Do you? Why pray a long prayer when a short one will do? He didn't have time for a long, drawn-out prayer to God. He had time for a short one, so a short one would have to do. You know, there may be times in your life you're going to run into this. You may not have time to actually get on your knees. You may not have time even to get out of a room sometimes where you may have to ask God to help you. Well, that's what Peter ran into. And let that be an encouragement to you. You know, there's nothing wrong with short prayers. There's nothing wrong with praying a prayer that is quick when you need God's help and you need God's strength, because sometimes that's all you may have time for. And always remember this. It's not the length that counts. It's a matter of God hearing it and answering it. So God hears short prayers just as well as He hears long prayers. That's the thought I'll leave you with. Now, there's nothing wrong with a long prayer, but there may be times you need a short prayer. Number two, it was a simple prayer. Lord, save me. I don't know if you can find a simpler prayer in the Bible than Peter's. That was it. Three words, and you look at the words. You know, sometimes as a pastor, I'll try to find the meaning of words. And sometimes you go to the Greek and you can find a little bit better meaning, or the Hebrew in the Old Testament. These three are pretty straightforward. Lord, save me. That's it. There's not much more than what's right there as far as just the straightforward, basic meaning to these words. And that's all it is. They're just a simple prayer, a common prayer as far as the words that were used. You know, they were all words that the people were familiar with, and they're words that we are even today familiar with. I think because it is short and simple, it's an easy prayer to learn from. And in some cases, it's an easy prayer to use when we're in trouble, just like Peter was. Now, if you'll notice, there were no fancy words to this prayer. There were no flowery words with this prayer. Remember, Peter didn't have time to impress anybody. I mean, he didn't have time to impress the other apostles or anybody else. It was a simple prayer from his heart, seeking God's help. You know, it's good to remember that God is not impressed with our deeds or our words. There's nothing we can say that'll impress God. He's the Creator. He's the Almighty. Now, we should worship Him and praise Him, but our prayer life should seek to, I guess you say, reach Him, not try to impress Him. So when you pray, I encourage you, just talk to God. Just talk to Him. That's all Peter did here. He just talked to his Lord and Savior, seeking help. Number three, it was a spontaneous prayer. A spontaneous prayer. There was no time for Peter to plan this prayer out. He couldn't think, well, I'll pray this, or I'll talk to the Lord about this first, or maybe I'll talk here. Now, there's nothing wrong with planning things. Peter didn't have time to plan. It was spontaneous. He reacted to the situation that he found himself in, and he prayed to God. This prayer was immediate, by the way. He didn't delay or hesitate. Now, there's no need to delay or hesitate. He was in trouble. He needed God's help. You know, sometimes we can delay, talking to God. Instead of taking our cares and concerns to Him, we pick them up on our shoulders and we carry them, all of our burdens. Sometimes needlessly. God says, cast them upon me, I'll take care of them. Instead, we choose to worry and fret over things that are out of our control instead of giving them to God, letting Him take care of them. Peter here didn't delay his prayer. Immediately he asked God for help. There's no need for him to delay asking the Lord to help. Also, you'll notice this prayer was prayed where he was. Peter didn't say, well, I got to get back to the temple and pray, or I got to get to a synagogue and pray, or I got to get back to my house and pray. He prayed right where he was. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. You see, it's good to pray at church. We'll have a time of prayer here in a little bit. And I think it's good to pray at church. It's excellent to pray in your house. You should have a time of prayer as you begin your day. But loved ones, we can pray anywhere. And that's because of Jesus Christ. And that's who Peter was talking to. We have a mediator in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You know, this week you may find yourself in a situation where you need to talk to God. And guess what? You can't break away from what you're doing. Now, you may not scream out as Peter did, but in your heart you can talk to the Lord. Lord, help me here. Lord, give me strength to overcome this, whatever it may be. Lord, give me wisdom so I can make a right decision. I don't mess this up. You can pray right where you are. You can talk to God. Peter prayed right where he was. A spontaneous prayer, a quick prayer. He was ready to go, I guess. So maybe the trial is what kind of instigated a little bit, but he prayed immediately. Number four, it was a sincere prayer. I truly believe this was a prayer from Peter's heart. You know, sometimes we can pray and it's not from our heart. First, there was no deception involved. We don't read of Peter praying one thing and thinking of another. And now, we don't know his thoughts, but I'm under the impression that he was thinking of safety. Lord, save me.
I don't think at this moment he was thinking of what he was going to do later in the day or what he was going to do next week.
I believe this was a prayer that was sincere from his heart. Also, Peter didn't have plans and ask God to carry him out for him. Let me explain this. Sometimes in our prayer life, you know what we can do? We can make all of our plans. Get everything ready, and then you know what we do? We go to God seeking His approval for our plans. You know, loved ones, let's begin with God first. Let's go to Him first. And let's ask God to help us in the matter. Help us make the plans. Help us put things in order, whatever the case may be, whatever the situation may call for. But let's go to God first. Let's seek Him out. Let's not have any deception involved. Let's be honest to the Lord. Also, if you'll notice, there were no deals made. I've been guilty of this. I'll admit it. I've been guilty of, you know, Lord, you bless me here, I'll do this. I don't know if that's part of being an immature Christian at times, but I've been guilty of that. We don't find Peter doing that. He didn't say, Lord, save me and I'll go and be the best apostle you've ever seen. Or, Lord, you save me and I'll go do witness here, witness there. It was just, Lord, save me. Because I think it was a sincere prayer from his heart. Now, there's nothing wrong. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with making commitments to the Lord. I want to clarify that. You know, you'll find in the Bible that there were vows made. And in certain situations, men and women made certain commitments unto God. There's nothing wrong with that, but make sure it's coming from the heart. And make sure you understand what you're praying. Because God will, let's put it this way, you will have to give an account to God someday for that prayer. I don't think we should take any promises lightly, let alone promises made to God. We don't find here Peter making any deals. We just find him crying out, Lord, save me. Again, a very sincere prayer. He was in trouble, and he just asked God to help him. Two more. Number five, it was a serious prayer. What do you mean by serious, Pastor? I don't think Peter was going through the motions. Okay? I don't think he was praying because that's what he was supposed to do. I don't think he was praying because that's what others expected him to do. I don't think he was praying because that's what he had always done. For example, if we're not careful, our prayers can become repetitious. I think before meals sometimes, if we're not careful, we can just pray a quick prayer and we just don't take the time to give thought to what we're saying because we do it so often. I guess the thing to always remind yourself is whenever you pray, you're talking to God whenever you pray. And let's not let our prayers become repetitious. Let's not allow them to become where they're just mindless words because we know we need to do it. I think Peter's prayer was serious because it wasn't a prayer like that. It was a prayer that came from his heart that he was talking about a serious situation and crying out to the Lord. Notice it says in verse 30, it says, when we saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. It says, he cried saying, Lord, save me. I don't think this was a silent prayer. I don't think it was within. Also, I don't think it was silent as far as, I don't think he just said, Lord, save me. He wasn't trying to be pious and correct words. I believe it was more of a, Lord, save me. Probably louder than that. At least mine would be. The Bible, the word for cry means to scream or to shriek. Keep in mind, he's going down in the water now. He's sinking fast. Wind's going. This prayer was a serious prayer. Peter had a problem, and he needed some help. Folks, there may be times in your life where you need a prayer like that. You just fall on your knees. You get alone with God. You may not scream out like Peter, but you ask, Lord, help me. And there may be times you do scream out like Peter. Lord, save me. I made a mistake. I should not have done this. Lord, save me. Give me strength. Help me out in this situation. So we find this was a serious prayer. And lastly, and I think this is probably the most important, it was a sufficient prayer. A sufficient prayer. Three thoughts on it being sufficient. First, notice Peter recognized and regarded Jesus Christ. Even though it was briefly, what did he say at the very beginning? Lord. Lord, save me. He didn't just say, save me. He said, Lord, save me. You see, Jesus was his master. Jesus was his Lord. Jesus was his Savior. I think whenever we pray to God, it should be with reverence. This, even though it was a scream and a shriek, it was done in fear, he still took the time to respect the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That was his Lord. And he began that way, Lord, save me. So we find here that he recognized his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Number two, he made a request in his prayer. He said, save me, help me. There are times you're going to have requests in your prayers. And then number three, there was a response. The Bible tells us, and we see here in verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? We find that Jesus Christ reached out. Now, I'm under the impression that this was a miracle. I don't think he was close. He wasn't close enough for Peter to reach him. So Christ obviously had to get there quickly. And Peter cried out. How fast he got there, how far he had to travel, I don't know. But he got there quick enough to grab Peter. I've often wondered how low Peter got. I don't know if it was just his hand sticking out or if his head was sticking out. I don't know. But Christ was there in time to grab and pull him out of that water, put him back and take him back to that ship and save him. You see, there was a response to his prayer. It was heard and it was answered. Also, there was a little bit of a rebuke for Peter. And this was not to the prayer, but to what preceded the prayer, his problem, that faith. He took his eyes off the Lord, lost faith, and began to look around the problems around him. You know, in closing here this morning, I'm going to give you some thoughts in closing. When should you pray this prayer? When should you pray this prayer? Lord, save me. To begin with, if you're here this morning and you're without Jesus Christ in your life, right now is when you should pray this prayer. Right now. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not even promised the next second or 2 seconds. Be grateful for the life God has already given you. Don't take anything for granted. If you're in your sin, you've never repented, never believed on Jesus Christ, right now is when you should pray this prayer. Now, of course, this was not Peter's case. This was not a prayer of salvation for Peter. But if you're here and you're in your sin, that's where it begins. You need to seek God's salvation. You need to be saved from your sin.
How do we pray that prayer? You repent of your sin, understand you're a sinner, believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior. Ask Christ into your heart
and believe on Jesus for salvation. Ask Him to save your soul. So if you're here this morning and that's your situation, I encourage you, I plead with you, get that settled. Take care of that. Ask Him to save you right now. If you pray as far as you think of, it doesn't have to be a certain words. It can be short. It can be simple. As long as it's sincere from your heart. As long as you're serious and you mean what you're saying, that prayer will be heard and answered. The Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I have been blessed to hear several people, some here, some that aren't here today, pray a prayer of salvation. And I've always find it interesting how it's always different. God works in their hearts. But you know, it always comes down to the same thing. They're seeking God's forgiveness and they're asking God to be their Savior. That's just what it is. And so this morning, I hope and pray you're saved. If not, that's the prayer you need this morning. Lord, save me. Well, once you're saved, when should you pray this prayer? You know, those that belong to the Lord. Let me give you three times I believe you should pray this prayer. First, you should pray this prayer when you're tempted to sin. Now, if you can get away from the temptation, do it. But if that temptation is right there to sin, and you cannot get away from it, this prayer is the prayer you need. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Don't let me fall into this temptation. Don't let me sink into this sin. Then, of course, turn to God and look to Him. Number two, pray this prayer if you happen to be tested or tried. You know, this week, you may run into a situation where at work, at school, or just out and about, you run into a situation where you're tested. And you may think of saying something that you know you shouldn't say. Lord, save me. Help me get out of this situation. Or maybe you're in a situation where guess what? Everything is just out of your control. Something takes place. And you know if God doesn't help you, things could get ugly quick. Lord, save me. Help me through this. Here's the third one. Whenever you're overcome or you're troubled with a situation. You know, we call, we think of bad news, we call them tragedies for a reason. We're not expecting to hear bad news. We don't want to hear bad news. We, of course, want blessings. But as we go through this world, there are times when we receive some difficult news or bad news. Personal, health, maybe at work. Well, this is when you can pray that prayer. Lord, save me. That doesn't mean you're going to get up and walk on water. What it means is God will give you the strength to get through, that God's with you, and He'll help you. He'll direct you. You see, this is a prayer that's asking God to help you in your life. And I believe it's a prayer that is powerful, even though it's short and it's simple. If it's sincere from your heart and you're taking it seriously, it's a prayer that is mighty. And maybe one of the most powerful prayers in your life that you can use on a daily basis, a weekly basis, as you go through this world. Asking God to save you. You know, the Bible tells us that Peter cried saying, "Lord, save me." And I truly believe that's a prayer worth praying.